before he comes up. Our guest preacher is Rick Smith. He is spiritual formation pastor at Mosaic PCA Church in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where he and his wife, Vicky, who's sitting next to him, currently live. Rick is also on staff with In Faith Ministries, which is headquartered in our area, just out in Exton, and is coincidentally where Misha Fuller, Misha, where are you? Right there, where she works as well. Rick and Vicky, that is probably not the first time someone has done that. Rick and Vicky have 8 grandchildren and 4 adult children, which coincidentally, Misha Fuller is one of them. And if you haven't put 2 and 2 together yet, Rick is also David Fuller's father-in-law. So there you go. We are grateful to have Rick here to bring the word of God to us in just a moment. But before he comes up, Andrew Zakari will read the scripture for this morning, and then Reverend Rick Smith will preach the sermon.
Today's scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving, not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor, since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church, and this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself in loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. The word of the Lord.
Sermon title today is Learning to Care for God's People, and I've got to tell you, from talking with David and from conversations with Misha, I happen to know that this congregation has a long, beautiful history of caring for David. And when he was at a time in his life of great need and a sense of, oh, you want that too? Okay. that this congregation and the leadership of this congregation just played a huge role in just loving David and helping him see God's hand in very difficult circumstances. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank you. I really believe that David is the man he is today, in large part because of the love and care and restoration of you, the people of God. And that's just really cool. Thank you. I am going to be talking, Jesus was asked by a fellow, he asked Jesus, what's the greatest command? And Jesus said, well, it's this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he did an interesting thing. He said, and the second is like it. The guy didn't ask for a second command. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. He seemed to be saying that if you love God genuinely, you will love your neighbor. And if you love your neighbor genuinely, you will love God. They're just inseparably connected. You can't pull them apart. They need each other. They belong together. And guess what? Who do you suppose, for those of you that are married, who do you suppose your closest neighbor is? It's your spouse, of course. Ephesians describes us in our marriages as one flesh. I've got one thing I want to say today, and it's going to take about 15 more minutes. But just one thing. This is what I want you to take away from this. And this is addressed to David. It's addressed to the elders of the church. It's addressed to every man and woman and child of the church. So we're really focused on David, but I'm going to be addressing you all because it really relates to all of us. God's desire is that as we live life, as we serve in ministry in the church or outside the church, as we serve in our in the vocation that God has called us to, whatever that is, plumber, electrician, CEO, doctor, dentist, whatever it may be, all of those labors are intended to come out of the essential foundation of our marriages and the health of our marriages, because we're one flesh. And it's as if God set up marriage to shout out to the rest of the world, this is how I love my church. Imagine trying to minister to someone and things are falling apart at home. And they may be even impressed with you, how you're ministering to them, how you're serving them. But if things are falling apart at home, the health of that ministry can't be good. The effects of it will be deficient. And I just want us to hear this truth over and over again. It's not new to any of you, is it? We all agree with it, don't we? But oh, to live it. To live it. So to David and the elders, serve, lead, care for God's people out of your marriages. By the way, anybody in here that's single, I may not include singleness every time I say this because I really need to save words this morning, but here's how you're included in that. God, I believe, wants you to serve whatever you do in life, your vocation, however you care for people. He wants that to come out the health of your singleness. And here's what I mean by that. If you're single, you need to be committed to cultivating and developing one or two or three really in-depth relationships, the kind of mutual friendship that is growing and vulnerable. You need that. You need that. Your soul needs that. So that whatever you do, it needs to come out of the foundation of a healthy singleness, whether you're single by choice or whether you're single by your circumstances. And so singleness applies in much the same way as marriage. And please include yourself every time I talk about marriage and husbands and wife, because you are included. There is no question about it. Now, to the rest of the congregation, all you husbands, all you wives, if you're a mom and or have a career, all that you do, all that God's called you to do, He intends it to come out of the foundation, out of the core of your marriage. You can't be doing great here and have things not good and solid at home. It just doesn't work, because you're one flesh. And again, you may fool people, you may impress people, but how God wants all that you do, your parenting, He wants it to come out of the essence. You know, in physical fitness, I've got a son that's an athletic trainer. I've got a nutritionist, personal trainer for another son. My daughter-in-law is a kind of a kinesiology expert, and they always talk about core strength, right? Core strength, it's important. My core's getting bigger every year. core strength, your marriage, your healthy singleness is the core strength of your life. It has to be strong for you to reach out in the name of Christ, in your vocation, in your service to others, in your care of God's people. Well, I want to look at our passage just briefly. This is in the message paraphrase that Andrew read. And I just want to go over it again with just a few comments. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. When God focuses on the marriage relationship, it's as if He knows that our spouse is our closest neighbor, and He just wants to zero in on husbands and wives here, not leaving out singles, husbands and wives, healthy core relationships. Be courteously reverent to one another. And I may address the husbands a little more than the wives this morning, just because I think we mess up more. I really believe that. It's a story of my life. How are you doing, husbands, at being courteously reverent to that bride of yours, treating her as holy, treating her like you would, at least like you would somebody that you just met, and that you would be thoughtful of them. You who are elders sitting here, has it ever happened to you that your wife has said, boy, you listen so well to these people at church, and why don't I get some of that at home? That's a message from God. We call that a revelation. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to the church. Listen to this. Not by domineering, but by cherishing. By cherishing. We don't use that word too much today, but you just get a sense of a kind of gentleness. Really a sensitiveness that holds them up as precious. So, just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, excuse me. Are you bearing this voice okay? Okay. Remember, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. You hear that? We all know this stuff, but we don't live it too well. Christ's love, I love this language, Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Husbands, do you look at your relationship with your wife saying, you know, I want to make my bride whole. I want my words to her to just draw out her beauty. How are you doing at that? Everything God does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that's how husbands ought to love their wives. Everything he does and says is designed to bring out the best in her. Oh, how often I come up with words designed to bring out the worst in my bride. I won't ask for a show of hands. Husbands, hear this word from God. And the Apostle Paul says they're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. If you're one, you're just being good to yourself by lifting up your bride and treating her as precious. You're only helping yourself. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we're part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery. I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church. And this is a good picture of how every husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her her husband. Well, I need to say this. You might be listening to this and saying, well, what is the big deal? Rick, you know, you've flown across the country. Your voice is a wreck. What's the big deal of focusing on this as you talk about caring for God's people? Could I suggest to you that our marriages, our singleness, and those few healthy relationships that we're cultivating, that our marriages are intended to be like a training center? What we learn in that intimacy and closeness, and how difficult it can be, what we learn there will serve us beautifully in caring for people. It just applies. It's building your core strength, so what you do out of the home will be effective and will bring glory to our Creator. So nothing new, but brothers and sisters, we don't live this very much. And it's impacting the people of God in a deep, deep way. Could I give you an example, personal example? If this was the last story I could ever tell, because my larynx would just blow out, this would be one I'd want to tell. About a little over 25 years ago, I'd been in ministry about 10 years, and those years I'd been in about three churches in those 10 years, and that's because it was like a roller coaster ride, and the roller coaster was mostly going down, and just I felt chewed up and spit out. And some of that was because of my issues, and some of that was because of the people in my church's issues. But it was the most, I'm not exaggerating, the most wretched years of my life. It was really awful. Hard. Vicki and I found ourselves at a conference that was intended to help us in our relationship with Christ and with one another. And one afternoon we met with the fellow who had been discipling us by phone. He lived in Pennsylvania. We lived in southern New Mexico. And here we were getting to see him face to face. And one afternoon we were together and we sat down, and he turned to Vicki and he said, "Vicki, tell me, do you feel cherished by Rick?" Silence. Now, my bride is not ordinarily without words. More silence. And my stomach is knotting up. Are you with me? So the counselor broke the silence by asking the question again, "Vicki, do you feel cherished by Rick?" More silence. And my knot is getting tighter. And this loving thought just flew through my mind. "Woman, you better give him the right answer." Oh, that's sweet. The silence continued. And Jeff, our counselor, said, "Well, I take that to mean no." And at that moment, I had this explosion of anger internally. Now, I'm a really, really good Christian, so I worked hard at not looking angry. I don't know if it worked, but I'm telling you, it was just explosive internally. And I'm telling you, that was the first 10 minutes of our session. I do not remember a single thing that happened after that. That's how much anger was happening inside. Later that afternoon, I had to get away, and I went for a walk around this big lake on the retreat center. And I'm walking around the lake. You have to understand, my dreams of having a glorious career of ministry, you know, probably I would end up on television. Who knew what God was going to do? And of course, it would have nothing to do with me. Just all glory to God. Those dreams had died again and again and again. And I'm telling you, my success in ministry was way too important to me. My getting accepted and affirmed and approved of had become, that was my idol. I had to have that in order to experience life. That's the way it felt. So I poured myself into that, continuing to fail. And in the process of all those years, I thought the one thing I had going for me, at least things at home are good. At least I'm a darn good husband. And this counseling session just blew all that. So I'm walking around the lake, and I think, again, these are very sweet thoughts. I think I'll drown myself. And I thought, I don't think I can do that because I know how to swim. I don't think I can make, I can't make myself not swim. That doesn't seem realistic. So I kept walking. I came to this dock, kind of sticking out probably 30 feet into the lake, and I thought, maybe I could walk out to the end of that and somehow throw myself off and sort of hit the corner of the dock with my head and either break my skull or knock me out, and then I could drown. And the more I thought about that, I thought, boy, that doesn't even sound realistic. I just don't think I could do that. Well, I get about two-thirds of the way around the lake, and I'm serious. I heard no voices. I didn't see any visions. But here's what seemed to be happening. It was as if I stopped walking, and it was as if Jesus was in front of me. And it was as if he said, Rick, you would rather think about ending your life than simply running to me for help? It was at that moment I realized kind of the depth of my rebellion, the depth of my sin. Like, I don't want Christ interfering with my life. I've got to handle this. All this, remember, I'm not feeling bad that I haven't cherished Vicki. I'm feeling bad that I failed again in another area. Now, how self-centered is that? Is that like a guy or what? It's just, man, I'm the worst. But it was at that point that I saw, if I'm going to love this woman, I've got to have help from my Savior. I wonder if he's big enough to work even with me. I've been a pastor 10 years, for heaven's sake. And in the depth of my soul, I wasn't sure Jesus could handle my rebellious spirit, I'll tell you. But he began to. And he drew close to me. And he began, and this was probably a three-year process. He began to pull me in closer to his heart. He began to help me see the affirmation and acceptance and the life I was looking for, of course, was only found in him. And how could I possibly learn to cherish my bride without the very power of Almighty God and without his grace pouring out on me day after day after day? The point of this message, the one thing I'd just like you to take home, and God is calling all of us to, whatever God has called you to vocationally, in serving him, in serving others, he wants it all to be out of the depth and health of that core marriage relationship, including that core healthy singleness and those few relationships. Anything less will make all that we do deficient and dissatisfying, and it won't be what God wants it to be. So David, I'm just urging you, lead and serve and care for God's people out of your marriage. Elders, lead and serve and do the business of the church, absolutely, but not at the cost of your marriage. That makes no sense to our Creator. He made you one, and you're going to go off and do this other stuff? Lead, serve, and care for the people of God out of the health of that core of your marriage. People of God, wives and husbands, do what it is that God's called you to do, but let your training center, let your foundation be your marriage. And let the overflow of that, just watch how God uses the overflow of that to change lives. He does it all the time. He's really good at it. I better stop. My voice is gone. Let's pray, okay? Lord God, if we have any hope at all at getting this right, at living out our one fleshness, oh, how we need the power of the gospel. Oh, how we need Jesus day by day. Oh, how we need your grace poured out on us. Lord, it's a foundation just like the foundation of this building. It sort of doesn't get seen by a lot of people, but its importance is astounding. Forgive us. We're pretty messed up, Lord. But you're the God who takes brokenness and makes it beautiful. I pray for David. I pray for the other elders. I pray for each man and woman in this congregation that we will shout out your good news to the world by way of our core relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Offering is a time when we think about the things that God is saying to us, and we offer up our lives and our gifts to Him, and we'll also have the benevolence collection immediately after the regular offering.